You mentioned your work after leaving Fieldings and you being competent, in abundance to be able to take on work after you'd worked at Fielding and Platt, because you, as you say, you'd worked for the most senior people, you'd managed a huge workload. Was it your experience that after having worked at Fielding and Platt, the fact that you had that company on your CV, did that open doors for you in the future, do you think, that people looked at you working for Fieldings and thinking, oh yes, that's a company that's held in good regard, she must have done very good work there, and you got jobs on the back of that?
I think it probably did, yes, because I was also able to put, that they were group directors that I worked for, and the chairman of the group, which Mr. Fielding was. So it did. But through totally different reasons, I didn't go much further. I got married. 2 years later, I had children. And it was in the era when you gave up work and you looked after your children, which is what I did. And no regrets. I have three amazing children who all are very competent and went to university and have great jobs.
I was just going to ask, was there anything else that you'd like to add?
Sometimes it wasn't easy to make friends with other girls in the place because you jolly well were confidential. And all girls like to get together and have a gossip. And my fellow director secretaries and I just didn't do that. So we found we were relying on each other's company. I suppose it added to it that we were on this corridor, way apart from the typing pool and all the others. It was easy then to get a bit of a reputation as being standoffish, or which wasn't the case at all. And it was also, I suppose, we had to be on call all the time for our bosses, which the girls in the typing pool who didn't lead that sort of a life so much didn't really appreciate. So, yeah, we were thrown very much together, and I'm still in touch with two of them, and we meet once or twice a year for a coffee.
That's lovely. And thinking about you socialising at work, did you ever go to the canteen together? Did you ever, were there any offices that you congregated in just when you had a 5-minute tea break or anything like that, or did that not happen?
I don't think it did. I suppose when I was in the sales department, yes, I popped into the shorthand typist office there, the little cupboard that the poor girls had. It really was minute. But not for long. Not only did you not really have time, you didn't want to be seen gossiping at any time with anybody. So, I didn't go to the canteen. I used to bring lunch just so that I could, work whenever I wanted and stop when I wanted to. And on the director's corridor, it was in our own office, Liz and my office, that people would congregate, if they did at all. But again, you never liked to be thought idle, so you kept pretty busy, and there weren't many gossipy moments.
And thinking about the typist pool, Judith, was that a pool just for the sales department, or was that a pool for all of the secretarial work that happened at Fieldings?
No, I'm sorry, I can't even remember what the general staff used, but the sales department just had two girls in the little tiny office down the end. Might even have been three girls at one time, all packed in there. And each girl had two engineers that she always worked for. We did all pile in together when the need arose and when somebody was away. But each girl had her two engineers. And they were just in that little office, separate on the sales corridor. That's why everything was very segregated. Yeah, it was. Unless you went to the canteen on a regular basis, I don't suppose there were many occasions to meet.
And how big was this room that the two or three typists were in? Was it really crammed?
Well, perhaps my memory is faulty, but I'd say probably no more than about 8 foot by 6 foot. Yes, they really were cramped. It was a question of, can you move, and then I can get out. It was bad. And when an engineer came to give them a bit of quick dictation in the office, he'd stand in the doorway. So, yes, it was tight, especially allowing for the desks and the cabinets.
Wow. And just thinking about the other office furniture, as it were, that would be in your offices. You have mentioned a telephone, you had a desk, you had typewriters or semi-electric typewriters, as you said, when you went to work on the director's corridor. Was there any other machines that would have been used as part of these secretarial or personal assistant roles?
Not actually in my office. Actually, I've just remembered, we did graduate to a full electric typewriter before I left. Hugely scary initially. In the filing office, which is also, I think, the post office, there were two huge copying machines. One was a Spirit duplicator, horrible thing, which stank. And the other was, it used to cut wax stencils. I'm not quite sure what it was called. But you could get rid of the ribbon on your typewriter. I'm talking about museum pieces to you, aren't I? You dip the ribbon on the typewriter so that when the typeface came up, just the metal typeface hit the wax and cut the entire letter or minutes in wax. And then you'd roll it off on this disgusting great machine covered in black ink. In another department, we also had a telex machine. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but that was hugely modern for Fielding and Platt. That's about the only other machine I remember.
Can we just come back to the wax machine? And what was that used for?
Anything at all that you wanted to type that was more than about 5 or 6 copies. That's as much as you could get with the, because we're using interleaved carbon, you see, weren't we? Or the specially made up sets of interleaved carbon. Anything more than that, which frequently there were, minutes of meetings often went out to 20 or 30 people. It was an A4 sheet, slightly bigger than A4, allowing for the cardboard that goes around it, and a waxed sheet attached to it, which, as I say, the typeface would cut into. So you'd have literally a stencil of the entire page. And it was a Ronio, I think the machine was called. You fixed it onto this great drum, wound a handle round, and out popped one freshly inked stenciled paper. So you would wind it round for as many as you wanted.
That's absolutely wonderful. No one's mentioned that machine before. Would that have been the people in the post and filing room that operated that, or was that you, Judith, that would have operated that, or would you have just taken down the original piece of correspondence that you wanted copying?
No, that would have been me or each individual secretary. Whoever typed it would do it. Because, again, there were important things in there. Not often confidential, but sometimes. So, no, you would absolutely have to learn how to do it yourself.
And that was the brand was Ronio.
Ronio, I believe it was a Ronio stencil machine.
That's fantastic. People, one of the secretaries told me about the telex machine, which I understand was a very early form of fax type machine.
Yes.
That allowed correspondence instantly, almost between companies.
Yes, that's right. Hugely innovative, we thought we were with that. Yes, it was. Yes.
Do you ever remember operating the telex machine yourself, having occasion to do that?
No, I don't think so. I remember collecting telex. I must have done. I absolutely must have done, but I don't remember that.
What did the telexes that you collected look like? Were they on the daisy wheel sheets of paper?
Yes, they were, yes, and you'd rip them off. That's right, with perforations every so often. That's right, yes.
And just printed to look almost like typewriter face.
The ones I did, I seem to remember, were all capitals. We didn't do lowercase, it was all capitals, I think, yes, on ours.
So sort of like telegrams, yes. Really?
Yes, it looked a bit like that, I believe, yeah.
I think we've had quite a comprehensive view of what it was like to work in secretarial roles in a number of different departments across Fielding and Platt. So thank you so much for providing that for us, Judith. I just wonder if you would like to say anything else, add anything else about what it was like to work for the company, the familial air, anything about the atmosphere of the company, just as a final rounding off.
Just that it was a very a very caring firm to work for, certainly in the initial years. Everybody enjoyed working there. I certainly was extremely happy. Didn't meet anybody who wasn't. The very fact that we all mucked in and helped each other when somebody was off ill or when time was short shows that we did all get together very well. And I think that was why it was all the harder for people when there were troubled times and redundancies, and it came as more of a shock and more upsetting, because Fielding certainly had been such a very happy family atmosphere and very caring of its staff.
And just one final question, sorry, if I may. Just about the area surrounding Fieldings and what that was like in the 60s when you drove to work. We've mentioned the garages there. We've mentioned, I don't think we have actually mentioned any of the other shops, but what was the area like, the atmosphere there, the shops that were there?
Well, it wasn't one of the best atmospheres or areas of all Gloucester. I used to drive down Southgate Street past the old infirmary, which then looked like an infirmary, and on the other side was the docks, totally unrecognisable now, because this was before the time then that they had redone it, and it was really grotty old warehouse buildings that looked as if it housed nothing but rats. It was a pretty tatty area. Just before I got to the traffic lights, there were some very little shops, not particularly smart looking. One was a tobacconist, and I had to frequent that fairly frequently. Not for me. Mark Phillips used to smoke cigars, and he used to like me to have them ready in my office when he descended at a moment's notice. So rather than waste time going out, I used to buy them in my own money, keep them in my desk, and he'd repay me as he used them. So I got to know that little tobacconist fairly well. Long gone now.
Do you remember the brand of cigars that he used to smoking?
I would if I thought long enough, but it's gone for the moment. No, can't remember. They were longish. I will remember as I walk out through the door.
And what was the tobacconist called?
No, don't remember. So Colwell's was on the other side, which I got to know pretty well. And then as you went down, is it Baker Street? I'm not certain. The first left was Fielding's, and it literally was very rough, unmade up, hard ground where everybody that could tried to get their car parked. And you had to be so careful, because if you hit a protruding brick, you'd just bump into the next car. It was deadly. And occasionally you could go further on down towards Lantany Bridge and park there. The area must have been pretty much the same for 100 years or more, because it was a pretty rough area.
Did many people drive to work? How many people parked in that Fielding's car park?
It was always crammed. All of the sales engineers obviously drove. Not the sales secretaries. Not me at the time. I used to take the number 3 bus from Long Levens, right the other side of Gloucester. Change at the square and King's Square and on down to Fielding's. I got my first car when I was working for Mr. Whittaker, an old, very old, ancient Morris 10. And from then on, that's when I used either the bomb site or it was wherever you could. There was no designated car park.
And I'm thinking of the other workers getting to Fielding's and the other industries on the Bristol Road. Was it quite busy when people were getting to work of a morning and when they were leaving of an evening?
Yes, it was hugely busy, hugely busy. I think a lot of people would have taken the bus, because certainly not as many people had cars in those days. Very busy, and a lot of bus traffic.
A lot of people leaving work in their boiler suits, or were they wearing their day-to-day clothes?
The ones I saw would have been boiler suits, but the works were so divorced from the office. I mean, we had this bomb site and then the car park for the directors and the executives and the office staff, and then beyond that was the works. And they almost never used the door that was this side, so they were you almost never saw anybody from the works unless you went well out of your way. They probably had a special parking site. In fact, I'm sure they did, way beyond the works, on the opposite side from the office.
You never had occasion to go into the works yourself?
Once or twice. Not a happy experience.
Could you just briefly describe the scene, the sights, the sounds, the smells of what the Fieldings Works was like in the 60s?
Not well. It was huge. All the machinery, it was vast. I didn't know what it did, so, you know, it didn't mean much. Noisy, smelling of oil. Not as many men about as I would have thought, actually. The managers, or the senior people that had offices, seemed to have sort of compartmentalised bits within the works, rather than a separate walk-in office, with views out over the works. I think I visited the personnel manager down there a few times, Geoffrey Morton, and the works manager. But they were sort of almost integral with the works itself.
And where was Geoff Morton's office?
I can't remember. I think it was one of the first offices you came to before you actually went into the main works.
And you said that it wasn't a good experience. You didn't enjoy the experience of going into the works. Why was that?
I was just shy. I should have been more self-confident, but I wasn't. I was shy. I just couldn't take all the wolf whistles and the comments of how about a date tonight, darling, and things like that, you know. These days it probably wouldn't be allowed, would it? It's harassment. That's what it was, yes. It was. We didn't call it that in those days. I just got hugely embarrassed, did what I had to and got out quickly. Yes. It was also very much the era of miniskirts, and I dressed fashionably, even though I was shy, so, yeah, I probably asked for it.
That's a wonderful picture of what the company was like during your time there. Would you like to add anything else, Judith?
I really think that's all. Yeah, that's all I can think of, truly. I'm amazed I've got that much down.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Whoa. Okay, thank you.